You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And your boy Jay Scott 2-5. What's good, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
Right? It feels so weird without my boy here. I wonder how it feels without me here. I would love to see what that feels like one day, but that would never happen. But Nick, man, I miss you. Hopefully you'll be back soon.
I think next week. I think we got Nick back next week. That's what he said.
I thought I didn't know the company had that much vacation time, man. I gotta put in for a month off, man.
He living good,
ain't he? Take it up with HR for sure. I think Nick's got one more trip. I think he's down in Fort Lauderdale today and then up to New York City this week. If you don't know why Nick's there, you weren't invited, unfortunately. This is a who's who, I guess.
It's a motion party, and you cannot get in.
Yeah, you cannot get in.
You have.
I asked Nick when he was in Tampa. I was like, hey, man, can I like swing by and like say hello? He's like, absolutely not. I'm like, all right, very good. I appreciate that, my boy. I was like, I'll sneak in. I won't cause a problem.
He's living it up. Shout out to everybody in the comments section, man. You're right. Monday isn't complete without that S&G, you know, episode hitting the streets, man. Y'all like, subscribe, comment, hang out with us. We're going to talk some Gator football, man. How was y'all weekend?
Had a pretty good one, man. I didn't get into too much. I was solo flying dad this weekend. My girl was out in Cali doing the Ricky premiere event. So it was just dad vibes. Luckily, mom came through and helped me out. She was a big help. Also not big help at the same time, but it gets there sometimes, man. But it was a good weekend overall. The kids had fun, and definitely happy to be back in regular programming.
And congrats on the building, man. I seen you y'all celebrating getting the warehouse. Was building, which
is definitely still in the works right now. That's the fun part is over with. Now all the hard stuff comes in with trying to get it to her liking. Together, huh? You're right. So we're going to get there day by day.
I had a warehouse or two in my day.
He did.
But no, that's good. That's solid. How was your weekend, Dan?
That's good. I'm out here in Utah, up in Deer Valley, and I was supposed to be golfing. So my better half is here for a conference, and so I snagged along thinking that I had the opportunity to play some golf out here, and it decided to snow yesterday, like 6 to 7 inches of snow.
In May?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
I don't need to live nowhere that snows in May.
That's like crazy. A lot of snow. But yeah, so unfortunately I couldn't do that. So just taking advantage of the hotel vibes and everything else. I'm working and whatnot, but I was really looking forward to coming out here to play golf. Not that I wouldn't like love to be out here regardless, but like when you have like your idea in mind of what you're going to do all day, Monday and Tuesday, and then that's like completely out the window. You're like, all right, got to figure out stuff to do. And there's like nothing to do in Park City, unfortunately, during like the non-winter time, unless you're like mountain biking or fly fishing. But obviously like just snowed today, so I'm not going to do either one of those things. So you can find me just kind of roaming around some art galleries, looking at art I can't afford, which by the way, like, I don't know if you guys go to art galleries very often. And I know Park City has like money and people come here with money. But I saw paintings for $65,000, $61,000, just chilling. And so I thought to myself, like, how many pieces of art get sold a month at a place like that? You got to move a couple a year? I don't even know. I think we lost Corey. Corey's frozen. Oh, he's back.
Yeah, it does look like he's frozen. Maybe, maybe not.
He's back. Oh, man. The comments can let me know. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, no, it's good. Love being out here. So yeah, that's what I got going on. Corey, what about you, brother?
My bad, man. Excuse my welfare internet, man. My Wi-Fi. I got a little bum of Wi-Fi today, dog. I apologize. But what were you saying, man? Reset it, bro. I missed something. It sounded like it was very interesting. Like, it said 68 something. What did I miss?
Yeah. No, I was just asking, like, at these art galleries that have pieces that sell for $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, $100,000, how many pieces of art do they sell in a month, in a year? Like, what's the business model for selling $100,000 artwork?
Right. Probably just one or two. Huh?
Most art galleries work at a loss or slim margins, man. Like, that's not a very lucrative business for everybody, right? Like, artists even struggle. Like, it's hard to, like, sell art, especially, like, very expensive art. So I think, like, the high-end popular ones probably move volume, but most art galleries are soon to be just another warehouse that Mia Jordan can get.
Oh, man. But, Core, how was your weekend?
It was pretty chill, man. Frustrating travels. Traveling is not as smooth as it once was, man. But it's pretty good until I got back to Fort Lauderdale. I had to fly back in to Fort Lauderdale. But outside of that, man, solid. Went out to Houston, kicked it, did DJ Lightway's camp. Did some stuff with the Mummagers out there. But pretty chill other than that, man. Weather was not as hot as it is here. Like, it's summer is here, bro. Like, you talking about 68 degrees? Like, summer is summering down here.
It's not 68 degrees here. It's like
35. I'm getting my
six. It's cold as Dickens outside. I think last night it was like a 17 degree wind chill. I'm like, in May? Like, end of May? Like, what are we doing here? But
shouts out to everybody that live out there. Good luck.
Do they get a summer out there? Like, how hot does it get? Like, what's their hot season?
I think it gets up to it's going to get up to like 90 next week here. That's what I mean. I don't know.
I say, where they do that at? That don't make no sense.
That makes no sense at all.
Yeah, the guy at the hotel is like, that's really unfortunate. We don't normally get snow this late. I'm like, yeah, it is really unfortunate that I'm all the way out here on a golf trip and I can't even do that. But enough of my complaining about being in Park City, Utah. Let's get a quick ad read and let's get on with the show, boys.
Stadium and Gale is powered by the great folks at Brand Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys. My man Greg is the best of the best in the business. Life insurance, home insurance, auto insurance, motorcycle, boats. If you have a print machine that has wheels, he can insure that as well. Word to Jordan. But if you're just trying to save some money, man, as a customer of Allen's, like, not Allen, I said the wrong name. As a customer of Greg's, I've saved money over the years with my homeowner's insurance. It don't cost you a dime to visit bruninsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204 to see if he can save you money. I'm pretty sure he can. Greg, what'd it do? Baby.
Yeah, Greg saved me a lot of money multiple times, so I appreciate Greg. One time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, if you are looking for attorneys that used to work on behalf of the insurance companies and now work to represent you in anything, pipe leaks, water damage, wind damage, hail damage, property insurance claims, hurricane damage, whatever it might be, go visit the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. That's DICUSBURKE law.com. And that's 855-652-1377. Again, the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. I've met these guys in person a number of times. They're great people. They're great community men as well. And they're well, at least one of them is a huge Florida Gator fan. So go visit the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group at DykusBurkeLaw.com or 855-652-1377. Let's get on with the show. We've got an exciting show, I think, today with Khalif Jackson, who's going to be joining the show here in the not-too-distant future, and then TJ McCoy, a former Gator offensive lineman and a legacy Gator offensive lineman as well. He's going to be joining the show a little bit after that as well. As we get into the show, just some big University of Florida announcement here. We're not going to dive too much into it other than just the announcement that the Gators Presidential Advisory Search Committee unanimously recommended Dr. Stuart R. Bell to the Board of Trustees as the sole finalist to be the University of Florida's 14th president. He was recently at the University of Alabama. I believe before that, he's recently at the University of Alabama, position that he had for 10 years. During that time, he was also the president of the Southeastern Conference from 2023 to 2025. Prior to that, he was the provost at LSU and the dean of the College of Engineering, PhD PhD in mechanical engineering and a bachelor's degree in nuclear engineering from Texas A&M University. So he will be the lone individual that will be going up to the Board of Trustees and then to the Board of Governors for approval to be the University of Florida's next president. So again, as we saw a couple months ago, this is nothing finalized yet, but it does seem like this one has a path to being University of Florida's 14th president, and you guys will probably very much love his commitment to athletics and the schools that he's been at. So Dr. Stuart R. Bell is your potentially next University of Florida president. With that, let's get into a little bit of recruiting before we get Khalif Jackson onto the show. The Gators grabbed another commitment in their class of 2027 with defensive lineman Kane Van Norden from Bishop McNamara in District Heights, Maryland. 6'7", 265 pounds. He is ranked as a three-star kind of across the board and is the consensus 829th player in the class of 2027, the 80th defensive lineman and the 20th player in Maryland. Offers from Virginia Tech, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Georgia, and a number of other schools. Have you guys been able to look into Kane Van Norden at all?
I have not, but
I have not.
Yeah, I'm sure I can.
I like his size. You know, the offer sheet, if they're committable, the solid offer sheet. But Chapman has a size, like I say, a body type that he likes to go after. That kid fits the body type, 6'7", just a giant. You know, you look at Caleb Banks and the rest of them, like we just been getting giants in the trenches, even the ones that didn't pan out, like Tavoris Brown, like those guys are like 6'8", just insane size. So he fits the mold of how, you know, he like Chapman like him. Do want to see our floor rise a little bit here. That's all I'm going to say is for defensive tackle, interior D-line. I want to see our floor, even D-end. I want, like, if we could start trending toward the bigger now that we got Brewster hanging in the balances a little bit, and they're going to continue to recruit him into, you know, the final bell. But you just can't risk it all on one player this class. I don't know how many they take. Well, we at two now. If you're taking four, I need the last two to raise the floor. Like, this need to be the floor where we at. We can't get more guys around that ranking. I'm not a rankings or nothing guy, but considering Stevie was a bit of a project, you know, he's lacking some football experience, has the size and the upside that you would want in that type of position, that type of player, but still missing some football experience. I'm not sure if he's going to play this fall. He may play, but just I think we need to raise the talent floor in that D-tackle room.
Yeah, and I agree. I think we've always had, like, premier guys at the defensive line position. And, I think rebranding on defense in general. I know we're on just D-line right now, but I feel like D-line and DBs, I think we need to get back to where we used to be as far as just being that team. What the Gators used to be, like DBU, you know, we're going to put D-linemen into the league every year. You know, we got guys even on the bench that can play. Obviously, it's harder now with the portal, getting guys to stay and actually have depth. But I think this would be a good piece for us for sure. But I definitely agree with you. I want to rise the floor a little bit. So even the dudes that are at the bottom level, you know, they can still go out there and play if need be, because seeing the injuries that we had this year, I mean, look at the guys that had to step up. And I was impressed. I was impressed with the guys that stepped up and they came in, out and made a name for themselves. So, in chat, we trust, if you ask me.
No, for sure. Yeah, I'm down with chat eval, for sure. But even when I spoke with chat over the offseason, doing regime changes, he spoke about raising the floor. But it's a couple things I think we should talk about. We'll talk. I'll hit y'all in the chat. But yeah, I think when he told me, I told, because we were just having a conversation about liking the D line room. We're gonna get chat on soon too. Spoke to him over the weekend. He's gonna come and hang out with us. He's in recruiting season, but he spoke about raising the floor. Like, he thought he loved the talent he had in that room. He thought he recruited good, but he thought, like, comparing around the SEC, you know, other rosters, he thought that the University of Florida's floor should be higher than what it was with the last regime. But, you know, a lot comes with that, nuances of how much money you're allotting, you know, to that position, NIL-wise, et cetera. So I don't have all the science on how they want to spend money in that room, but I'm just saying what I would like to see, and that's just rise the talent floor level, raise. Right. I keep saying rise. Raise the talent floor level a little bit.
What's your perspective on the idea that the Gators try to get a couple developmental guys? And I think Cade Van Norden is a guy that plays a lot of basketball too, and I think he found a lot of success playing basketball in a guy that can dedicate himself to football. I think he's going to obviously have a lot of the athleticism, the feet and everything else that you look for out of a defensive lineman there. And perhaps, you know, being able to solely focus on that, you see a lot of development and a lot of opportunity there. What's your thought process? And I kind of believe that the floor is a little too low right now. This is not in particular of any one player or two players that are in this class, and they might all develop to be better. But do you agree with the notion that maybe they're trying to go after some more developmental guys, trying to strike somebody that's a little bit undercover that they can grow and develop into that role, and then really try to use the transfer portal to fill out any potential gaps there? You know, because I think Chapman has maybe a better story to sell a transfer portal kid than perhaps.
Portal kids are expensive, though. I'm not mad at that strategy, and that could be a strategy, but that would go, I think, against how they trending overall recruiting. It seems like they're more invested in spending money and getting talent out of the high school ranks, but it's not. I don't know if we're missing that D-tag or we're like, I don't know what the thing is, but I just think the portal, I know the portal is more expensive. So if we're not going to get, and then you got a guy like Brewster, you know, you can't leave all your eggs in that basket. Because if 100%. You're trying to flip him, you know, he could be telling you one thing and then you get left. We've been, you know, if you're done recruiting, you know how this go. You get left in the cold here a little bit. So, you know, I wouldn't mind chasing Brewster all the way to the finish line if my floor is higher. But I do think we need to raise the floor. And if we don't raise the floor and we plan on going into the portal, as we know, defensive tackles are very expensive in the portal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, because just looking right now at Florida's offer list of who they – so right now they have three. I'm sorry. So they've got Cade Van Norden, Stevie, and Devon Kendrick, all of whom are ranked three stars on the defensive line. But if I were to look here, Florida is not really trending – Tyler Alexander out of Palm Beach Central. The Gators are the presumptive favorites for there.
No, not anymore.
Okay. Well, that's just on the recruiting prediction machine. So all just based on what the On3 recruiting prediction machine is. You have a ton of players that Florida is not even in second place on the recruiting prediction machine. Obviously, a lot can change, but you're going all the way down. And Corey, if you don't think Tyler Alexander, you're going all the way down to the 478th player nationally, and that's, you're probably siphoning through about 30 players before that Gators have offers to and where they're trending on the defensive line. So
yeah, I wouldn't panic anyway, right? Like recruiting is not what it is. I wouldn't panic. So if we can't get what we want out of the port, I'd rather them get developmental guys. If they striking out for the top tier guys, take the developmental guys, but you got to go spend big bread in the portal for elite defensive tackle. And that's just very expensive. So high school recruiting isn't an end all be all anymore. So I'm not going to panic. know, regardless, I think we're gonna have to enter the portal for defensive tackles regardless.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it just changed, you know, the type of spin you got to spend. You get multiple guys, one guy, elite guy, or another developmental guy out of the portal at D tackle, because we landed on Banks in that role, right? Like, Banks wasn't no phenomenal player at Louisville. He was playing sparingly, and somehow I don't know what kind of tape, practice tape we got. Right.
I mean, I think we kind of
hit on that one. So
I'm gonna get a nod.
I'm gonna still, you know, have some accountability on just what football is. You got to recruit at a high clip to be successful, but I'm never gonna panic with Chat. Chat has proven over the years that that he's gonna come through and have a solid room, man. So no need to panic, but we need to raise the floor.
Yeah, I agree with that, man, for sure.
Yeah. But speaking of raising the floor, the Gators have over the last couple of years really raised the floor in recruiting, and there is a commitment announcement that I would pay attention to if I was available tomorrow afternoon. Port Charlotte High School wide receiver, 5'11", 183 pound, Elias Pearl, goes by Eli. Rivals has him ranked overall as their 55th best player, and they have him ranked in the industry ranking as the 95th overall player in the country, the number 17 wide receiver, and the number 11 player in Florida. Again, a guy that I would look out for. His quarterback, Logan Flaherty, is committing, I think, right before him. I think FSU sits in a good spot for him. The Gators are recruiting him a while ago, but he's going to announce his commitment. I think it's at 1:30-ish Eastern time tomorrow, but being recruited by Marcus Davis, offers from Ole Miss, Auburn, Georgia, Wisconsin, a number of others there. So, guys, have any thoughts on Eli Pearl?
I have more thoughts tomorrow.
Okay.
Nah, he's nice. He's nice. Like, I don't want to get overcritical of the wide receiver room. You know, speed, would like some size, but he's nice. You can't, there's no complaints there. I think we're going to recruit very well at the receiver position to keep this momentum going from the last regime. They on the same vibes.
Yeah. Well, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think definitely even by our playing style with this upcoming season, I think we'll be able to obviously land a lot of receivers, just seeing the way that we've used them. And obviously we might get a guy like Singletary to go off into the NFL and he gets drafted at a good rate. I mean, I think that'll just be so easy for recruits to be able to want to come to Florida. And you got Dallas Wilson probably on his last year. You have a lot of receivers on their way out after this upcoming season.
Dallas Wilson on his last year. No, don't do that to me.
You got two years left.
Two years left?
Yeah, bro. Don't make them go. They leave so they grow up so fast, man. Don't do this.
Oh, you're right. So he got this season, and then he coming back for one more season after that, right?
Well, yeah, we got a hopeful. He's going back to college for another year.
That's true. That's true.
Hopefully, it's the Florida.
Right. Oh, that's a fact too.
I think he got a 2-year shindig.
Oh,
yeah, I think we can get two more out of him. I think he may be in a similar.
He got a 2-year contract. He didn't get a 2-year agreement.
Well, we just saw the 2-year contracts don't mean anything. You know what I mean?
No, that thing. Miami's whole at the end
quarterback
of
situation kind of proved that.
And then, yeah, but Oregon just sued a player as well, like for transferring with more money on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
But I'm saying, do you think them kids care that they're getting sued?
They're about to find out real quick that they should care.
I agree, but
this ain't Judge Judy, boy. This is Oregon.
I know.
This is not small claims court, my boy.
There's one thing that I've learned. These big corporations have a hell of a lot, or these big universities have a hell of a lot more money, and they have a hell of a lot more principle to fight this than you probably do.
They're not going to send you the collections, my boy.
That's the problem, though. They think that, and that, I mean, that's why they probably don't care.
Oklahoma will fit the bill for it. Maybe. It depends. I think that they probably will. I just don't know if they'll fit it forever or for how long. There's a number for everybody that they're willing to fit a bill for before. We can talk to Khalif Jackson. He's an attorney. How long would you be willing to fit a bill? So that's where we're at. Everybody hit the like button, hit the retweet button. If you're watching on X, hit the subscribe button. While we wait for Khalif Jackson, this has been a topic that has just, I mean, it's been talked about kind of ad nauseum, but we've not really talked about it too much on this show. And that's college football expansion. It seems like we're at a little bit of an impasse in who wants it and who doesn't and what that number is. What are your guys' thoughts on college football expansion for the playoff?
I think 24, 25 teams is too much. I like it at 12. I don't see a purpose. You just got to have incentives to the urgency of college football, what makes it dope, right? And it seems like they're dialing that back more and more as we continue to expand. But it was a time where you lost a game, you were like cooked, or game or two, like you were out of it, having a chance to play for a natty. Now, like, you got 24, 25 teams, and it just takes away – I think just the urgency and that pressure, I would say, that's on Saturdays. Every Saturday, you know, like, man, any loss could put us out of the picture. You know, like, if you're taking that away, I think you're taking away some of what makes college football special.
So let me ask you something, Corey, and then Jordan, I want to hear your take. Right now, with 12 teams and 8 teams before that, a lot of the discussion was, well, maybe we're not going to schedule those big out-of-conference games anymore, right? Like Florida, they're supposed to play Arizona State. They're supposed to play Cal. They're supposed to play someone else. And it's like, well, why do that? Let's just go to playing, you know, Marshall or, you know, a lower-level school instead. Do you think, and I'm not in favor of college football expansion, but do you think if they let some more teams in, schools would not necessarily be afraid to play some of those marquee games? So we do have some better regular season games and we kind of fall back to that because it's not just one loss and you're out anymore or two losses and you're out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think it's going to do us, like you said, it gives people the opportunity to see good matchups throughout the season, and also expanding, I feel like, also gives us an opportunity to see some great playoff games, right? I mean, it also makes some room for that Cinderella story to come through. You know, every year some small team that went undefeated in their conference and was – and able to, you know, make it to the playoffs. And even that may help out.
That's over football, bro. And people are just mad.
But people love to watch stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? People love a good underdog story. You want to see a team that came up out of nowhere. Like,
you see what happened to some Ross Tulane team?
I agree. But maybe I agree. It definitely got messy real quick, right? But I think like Dan said, I think it gives us the opportunity to be able to play some good regular season games, give more people the opportunity to come see like a team like UCLA or whatever, some West Coast team to come. Mm-hmm.
It'll be those bowl sit-outs too.
Right.
For players.
Yeah, I think the bowl season has another 5 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And not like the big bowls necessarily, because schools need money more than ever. They're spending money. They're trying to figure out ways to bring in more money. I mean, I know Florida just brought in 180,000 people on Friday and Saturday to see Morgan Wallen. I know Florida's looking to have 3 or 4 events a year like that. So they're looking at ways to make money. So, you know, but I think it's going to become untenable for a lot of smaller schools to be able to compete in a nature like we're moving. And if you go to 24 games, obviously you can keep the big bowl games, your ReliaQuest Bowl, which was the Outback Bowl, the Peach Bowl. I'm not worried about those, or the Citrus Bowl. Not worried about those necessarily as much as I'm worried about your random school where it's, you know, New Mexico State versus Utah State, you know, in a game for those kids that, you know, I think that the college sports is going to probably just move away from getting, you know, those games meaning anything because, you know, those kids are going to sit out. What's the point of getting yourself injured? And the schools aren't going to be able to make a lot of money off of it anyway with the cost of football and a lot of schools taking losses on some of these bowl games that, you know, I think the bowl system as a whole is going to be completely shifted in the next 5 years if you go to 24 to a point where, you know, maybe you have
24. This is the beginning of the end. I don't see a way to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you start to do away with it. Like, most of these schools, they do need the bowl money, like you said, but you're just going to start having too many scrap teams. Like, in the teams outside of that 24, everybody's going to be posturing, for their next move, you know, transfer, whatever that may be. But I guess you could also write in the players' contracts in NIL, right, on the rev share side that they have mm-hmm. to play those games. So, I mean, they could. There's a lot of legalities that could make them play the bowl games. All this stuff is just going to shift day by day, you know. So we'll see what it all looks like in, like, 5 years. But, yeah, I think if they change the way the contracts are set up and the players have to play in the postseason, you know, or they got to pay some money back type situation, I think that's the only way you save the bowl season.
Yeah. I just don't know how that – I don't know how much that money affects or moves the needle for schools not opting out, right? I mean, Notre Dame just opted out of Well, yeah, but they have a ton of money, but a lot of schools also do rev share with their conference. So that money matters to the conference as a whole to play in those games. And if you start to have those opt outs, what happens to those other conferences? And, you know, Vance Williams brings up a point, you know, is a 24 team playoff a way to convince the powers to be to do a Super League? I don't think that you're far away from the Big Ten and the SEC and, you know, parts of the Big 12, parts of the ACC, whomever it might be, splitting out from NCAA rule, doing their own thing, their own rules.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be dope. I would love to see something like that. I mean, you know, it's always that debate of, you know, they say SEC is the best, but now they're like, in the last couple of years, ACC has been to the championship. Blah, 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 blah.
No, Big Ten, bro.
Yeah, Big Ten, I know. Yeah, they are for sure. But I'm still a little biased at thinking that we got the best football in town. So it's just my take.
Yeah, I lie on Twitter and whatnot, but
Big Ten's good right now.
They're good right now.
Yeah, they all loaded right now. I can say that.
Show and they won
Pop Pop. Nobody foreseen Pop Pop bringing Indiana as some powerhouse, bro. And that's what changed the game a little bit when Pop Pop pulled up.
But how many do they really got, though? I mean, you got Ohio State,
Indiana. You gotta say Pop Pop just won it all, bro. You gotta say Pop Pop.
Indiana off the whim of a fart, but we can call it that.
I mean, they're gonna be good again this year, brother.
Yeah, they're gonna be running it back. Is it Oregon in the Big Ten now?
Yeah, Oregon, USC.
Oh, wow.
They got some fight. They got some fight over there.
They still got Michigan, Ohio State. You know, Illinois has not been bad recently.
Why they threw Oklahoma in our division? Why they ain't give us one of them good dudes?
Oklahoma ain't bad. Shoot. They might have had a better run at it than they did the covers
that we had. Oklahoma wasn't bad 25 years ago. Last decade, what have they done?
Well, they won a Heisman Trophy. They've played in the playoffs a bunch. I mean, obviously, they were in the Big 12, and it was just them and Oklahoma, them and Texas at the time, really. And Texas didn't really do much then.
Good again.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The Big 10's good. Yeah, and then Vance said that he misstated that. He said, I meant to say the 2014 playoff is to prevent the Super League. I still stand by my point that I think the Big Ten, what I think is interesting is the Big Ten wants expansion. I think it's to get more of their schools in. The SEC doesn't want expansion into 24. I think 24 is too many, right? But I also know that this isn't the end of it. Does it go from 24 to 28? Or 28 to 32. You just had March Madness expand again. Do we ever need to expand it past 64? No. And we went to 68, then 72.
It's going to expand again. I don't even get it. It's really just all marketing dollars because when they expand those games and you look at it on TV, it's like 8 people in the stands.
Yeah. 100%.
So, like, fan participation isn't like, I don't know. It's just money, money, money. They'll keep expanding. It's going to be 50 teams in the playoffs if more money, they can squeeze more money in it. It's all business, business, business. And, you know, football is always going to be, it's always going to be people passionate about it, but it starts to lose. It's like I said, that anxiety you get on a Saturday. NIL is causing some of that already. You know, transfer portal is already taking that a little bit out of the juice, man. So I just think if you keep expanding, you're just watering down the product. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Khalif is we're going to reschedule Khalif, just as an FYI for folks. I mean, obviously, this is all driven by money and will always be driven by money. Corey, you break up a great point, and it's something that we've talked about on this show. I don't know how much we've talked about it, like on the show, as much as we've talked about it, you know, through text or before or after. But I think that there's a lot of fatigue already with college football. And, you know, you continue to expand and expand and expand. And, you know, I don't know if you have four rounds of playoffs or five rounds of playoffs, what fan can afford to go to four rounds of playoffs?
That's a good point.
Right. I think you're going to start seeing some of that. And I think you're going to start seeing that effect. You know, well, if I'm going to be a super fan, maybe instead of having season tickets, maybe I now just save my money for the bowl season and instead buy, you know, a couple of tickets to the regular season, you know, or, hey, maybe I already have season tickets, so then I'm not going to go, you know, to all of the games. I mean, that's a ton of money to go to four bowl games, especially four bowl games that matter.
True. Yeah. Well, no, maybe with that expansion, you probably want some of that regular season work. You know, maybe one of your buddies is like a big, like a West Coast guy, and you can schedule a West Coast team, and y'all don't want to go to a regular season game and watch that one go down. So, I don't know. It's a lot of possibilities.
I'm going to be real. So, if I got a good team, that would be my, like, that would be my aim, right? If I got a team that's regularly in the playoffs, and you're getting that many playoff games from a college team, and it's usually destinations. Like, they're not doing home, so it's, like, more of an experience. I've been to 1,000 Gator games.
Yeah.
I would really start, like, in my washed-up days, just eyeing, if we're a regular playoff team, just eyeing those destination playoff games. Get my coins in order and just vibe out into those games, and then get out. You do get preference if you're a season ticket holder, so it's still that incentive, you know, to get season tickets. You can flip them, sell them, etc. Mm-hmm. But from me as a fan, that's what I'd probably be aiming to, man. If we start making the playoffs on the regular, is aiming for those experiences in different cities.
I mean, I think I saw
we rarely play.
I think I saw a statistic earlier today. I was like, if you expand it to 24 teams, Alabama would have been in the playoffs 24 years in a row. Like, or 18 years in a row. Sorry, 2014 playoff, 18 years in a row. And that's a lot of bread. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of fatigue. That's a lot of travel. And now you're pushing college football into the middle of January. So now you're asking end of August through the holidays, past Martin Luther King Day. Yeah, a lot of weekends. That's a lot of Saturdays. It's a lot of random Thursdays and Wednesdays.
We love football, but geez, I mean, it's definitely going to get a little too much at a certain point. Mm-hmm. Can't even keep up with your real life and then still trying to call it the team. Like, come on. You still got to work out here.
I have a podcast about the Florida Gators, and I even get fatigued trying to follow the team, and I have to.
Yeah, no, I don't get fatigued. I'm going to take necessary breaks, man. I have an off season too, right? I can't just – the players get off season, and so do I. So I get in off season mode, bro. Like, I turn it back up in August, bro. You know, we get in camp. Then, you know, I start getting a little ridiculous and excited. But right now, nah, I'm chilling. I miss the days of caring about recruiting in May, though.
Did you guys buy any of the old Florida Gator football gym equipment that was for sale on eBay?
I did not.
Now, how much did it go for? What was the rack going for?
Let's see. Let me pull it up real quick. Pause.
That's crazy.
I'm a fan of buying weights off the Facebook Marketplace. That's where I get my stuff at, bro.
So you're not even getting the weights. You're just getting the rack. The rack. And right now, one is for sale for $4,699. But if you use Klarna, you can get it for $225.59 a month.
Now I can get a rack. You know, Klarna, what Klarna got for it? I might have Klarna.
$225.59. Three of them have sold already. And then 163. There's 10 available.
Wow. If you guys want to go to eBay.
What?
They keeping all the logos and markings on them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Might not be a bad buy, man.
$4,700, and you can buy multiple, and they'll sell you the part that connects them together.
I got my messenger off the Facebook Marketplace.
I'm about to say, I'll do the plates. That's about it. You ain't getting no
racks. Plates aren't for sale.
That's messed up.
It's the plates racks, bro. Well, now, what were the reason that I forgot I didn't get caught up in? There's a lot of hoopla around equipment. Why did they change the equipment again?
Because they said it was unsafe, too tight, and the structure and way it was set up didn't allow for like bigger players to like get behind other players to like spot them. But they also said like the racks were uneven, the floor was uneven. It sounds
about Billy Napier.
Yeah.
That man still catching strays at this rate.
It sounds like his outfit he would put together. No surprise.
He's still throwing shade. He's still throwing strays at Florida, Jordan. So.
Oh yeah, I bet he's still bittersweet about that one. I'm sure his wife wasn't too excited to be.
Account's excited though.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Definitely rich.
He's at JMU now, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta go up there in June. It should be Spider-Man meme.
You might say you better stay away from that young man.
they recruit one of my DBs, bro.
They need about score now.
Huh?
I said he probably needs you now.
Yeah. You better talk to me nice this time.
Oh man, he's definitely gonna be on his best behavior.
Oh man.
Congrats to Aiden King, Florida Gators pitcher. He was named SEC Pitcher of the Year. Gators sitting in a good spot right now for the regional. And if they have a good couple of days in the SEC tournament, which starts, I believe, tomorrow or Wednesday, there's a chance that they could be a top 8 seed. So went and beat LSU this weekend. LSU's a shell of themselves this year in baseball, but the bats were flying or the balls were flying off the bats. And so the Gators, like I said, sit in a good position to potentially get a top 8 regional seed. Gators women's softball advanced out of their regional into the super regional, where they're going to play Texas Tech this weekend in Gainesville. So congratulations to the Gators women's softball program. We also forgot to mention, because it happened last week, the Gators did get a JUCO cornerback commit, Javier Jones, JUCO guy from Independence Community College. Which you might recognize as the Last Chance U school, but he will be joining this summer and is a member of the 2026 class. He did visit LSU, a number of other schools during this, you know, this time. You know, probably one of the lone JUCO guys. He would have, I think, 3 years to play two. Let me just double check. Wow. 6'1", 185.
Yeah, we need more bodies at corner. We just overall thin at that spot. So I was wondering if there was some JUCO or some graduate dudes that don't have to abide by the transfer portal rules and the limitations in the spring. I wonder if we can try to get some guys even on the offensive line in that capacity. But you know, yeah, I don't mind taking a flyer on this guy and see what's up. I like his offer list. He has 3 to play 2. And we need guys in that room. That room is thin. Like from a numbers perspective, it's thin.
He might have 3 to play 3. I only see stats from 1 year. It looks like he might have redshirted. So he has 3 for 3. Originally from Phoenix, Arizona, Mountain Point High School. Played last season, played 10 games, 12 tackles, 2 assists.
Man, go from JUCO to UF. That boy just went from prison to the mansion, bruh.
What?
You can't. Did you guys ever watch Last Chance U? Corey, I know you played JUCO ball, so you know. But Independence, Kansas is different. God.
Every JUCO, bro, they always in a random town. Like it's like 8 black people that lived there if it wasn't for the football team. So what it'd be like. It'd be just the Dickens, bro. Nothing there. No real trainers. break your ankle. You got to tape yourself up.
That boy got a pool out back now. He ain't going to know what to do with himself.
Oh, man. Man.
Dorm rooms that look like cell blocks.
Yes. Blessings food, to that young man.
Food that looked like jail food. I mean,
they probably didn't have to pay him, man. He was just happy to come here.
Yeah, he's like, I'll take a scholarship, sir. I'm good.
Well, you just got yourself a scholarship. I'm sure there's some NIL money involved. I don't know what it is, but you're probably a commodity, even without any stats. And I'm not, this isn't critical of him.
Supply and demand.
Right. It's a complete supply and demand thing. And being recruited by LSU, Florida, a number of others in there as well. You might have just secured the bag a bit. Now, I'm not saying that Florida threw a bunch of money at him. I don't know what that means, but it's probably more than you're getting at Independence Community College. I'll tell you that much.
That's a fact.
yes, Brandon Cano, women's track SEC champions, another trophy for Mouse Holloway. We need to get Mouse back on the show. Got to get him off after get him on after national championships.
Pause. Whoa.
I was hoping you guys didn't hear that one. Not get him off.
I don't get him off, man. Not on this show.
Not on this show. It's a family show.
It's a family show.
All right. Let me do a quick ad read. We've got TJ Moore coming on in not too long, or TJ McCoy. Sorry. Keep saying TJ Moore, different guy, completely different guy, which led us actually to a discussion about Tyler Moore, Corey, before you joined, man, the lies that I told about Tyler Moore, time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. I'm traveling right now. So Corey, Jordan, if you have the cups, if you could throw them up, I'm going to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Jordan's got one there. Great products, insulated, stainless steel that you can keep in your car. It's going to keep your ice icing for hours and hours and hours in your car in this cup. So go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15.
Yep. I definitely use my cup every day, though. That's a fact.
Man,
I'm telling you what, it's a great cup.
Yeah.
I'm not lying just because I got them for a discounted price. I'm big, big fan, big user.
I'm going to tell you something, bro. I don't even use regular cups in my house. Like all my cups are Game Time Sidekick cups that I use, bro. I got the little coffee tumbler. I got like a alcohol cup. I got all different types, styles of cups, but I don't touch regular cups in my house, bro. It's Game Time Sidekicks. That's how we move around here.
I think just me making a cup of water, I think it just makes me drink more water more throughout the day, honestly. I feel like I'm obligated to drink it once I fill it up. That's my little way into it. Actually having some water on the day, because if not, it'll be juice all day, boss.
I tend to drink more like just coconut water and random fruit juices out of the produce aisle over at Publix. I've just been buying a lot of that. I hydrate more with just fruit juice, and it's like, what do they call it, H3O instead of H2O when it's fruit juice and like real fruit juice, not Sunny D or that.
Yeah.
Man, I used to love Sunny D growing up.
Yeah.
Well, if you drink it now, you're so disgusted, bro.
Oh, I haven't had like concentrated.
I see somebody drinking Sunny D now. I'm gonna call the cops. I'm like, hey, bro, what are you doing?
There's too much information out there. You can't be drinking that. Back in our day, you know, we just didn't know. We thought it was healthy enough, you know? It's a juice-like drink nowadays.
I don't even get my kids Capri Suns and stuff. So I can't lie. Like, my daughter saw a Capri Sun the other day and didn't know what it was. I was like, that's good. You don't never need to know. Can't even see the drink. You just drinking. God knows what's in that little pouch.
Bro, I bought a Capri Sun, the gallon joint one time, and it was nothing like the pouches, bro. Yeah. Like,
something about that. Were you guys a pouch in the top or a pouch like just sticking in the bottom?
I was the top the whole one. It sounds kind of weird.
Paul, were you a top? Were you a top or a bottom?
It's sounded kind of crazy.
This is a family show, man. It's hard to even say this without getting paused, man. But I just punched it in the hole, man. With the money provide pause.
Oh shit!
Yeah, no, I was definitely
the bottom of it. Like, what's the strategy behind that?
I think it was just easier because sometimes like you would stick it like through the whole top of it. You know how people were when they were in fourth grade. They're just
But you had a bad target. You probably peed on the seat a lot too.
Probably people that still do pee on the seat. A couple other announcements. Ryan Lochte was inaugurated into the Swimming Hall of Fame. We're going to be getting Ryan Lochte on the show here soon.
Word.
Very soon. Yeah. Maybe next week.
Okay. Then.
Whoa.
Yeah. So get your swimming questions ready.
Let's do it. I like the flex, man. Like whenever we get guests like that, bro, I got them.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, got a flex. That's a good one.
The All Access Florida Spring Football is going to debut on the SEC Network tonight at 7 p.m. Maybe some folks are watching that, so please don't leave now. But that's going to feature John Summerall, Jaden Baugh, Jaden Woods, Vernell Brown, mic'd up segments with Buster Faulkner, Brad White, and John Summerall. It's going to follow their journey from the start of winter conditioning through the 2026 orange and blue game. So go check that out. And with it, I think we can stop stalling now. We're going to welcome former Florida Gators offensive lineman and legacy offensive lineman and a guy that we all loved watching, TJ McCoy, to the show. TJ, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. I apologize about me being tardy. I just got done eating dinner with my wife, so she's literally due next month.
Well, congratulations. If she wasn't due next month, we would have had a big issue. But
yeah, I know. No.
Georgia is particular about being on time, so.
Yep.
Yeah, you good, baby. Long as you here, man. We happy to have you in the building.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're supposed to have Khalif Jackson on before, and then we ran into some scheduling things, so we are literally just buying time till you came. So we appreciate you, brother, for joining. So, TJ, obviously a lot of people remember you, your legacy, your dad played at the University of Florida, but I always like to start with asking the first question. Obviously, you were recruited by a lot of different schools, and there may have always been a point where you knew that you were going to go to Florida, but what was that point for you that decided, like, during your recruitment process, or walk us through your recruitment process to ultimately come to the University of Florida?
So I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I was a three-star recruit. So like before Coach McElwain got to University of Florida, I always grew up wanting to be a Gator. But Coach Muschamp and that staff did not want me at all. So what's crazy is that I got offered a scholarship to Florida when I committed to NC State. So after my senior year, I early enrolled at NC State. And literally when I got up, Coach Summers, the O-line coach at the time, called me. He's like, hey, do you still want to go to the O-line? I was like, I early enrolled at NC State.
I completely forgot about that.
So that had happened. But, man, I had to fight and scrap just for every offer that I could get because I was, undersized. So I was 6'2". What's his name? Jesse Palmer, the announcer, right? I still remember a game, my second start at LSU. He said I was like 5'11". But
5'11" center. Yeah, would be man. Nuts, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. We gotta fire somebody. We got a center at 5'11".
I know, man. But I always wanted to be a Gator. It's been a long time thing of me wanting to go there. Obviously everybody knows about my dad's battle with leukemia. So even though I early enrolled at NC State, when I was up there, I came home from like after the spring semester, my dad still was having a battle with leukemia. So I decided to transfer and Coach McElwain and the staff still wanted me to be a part of UF. So that's why I was able to come to Florida in the summer of 2015. So that's kind of like my story behind how I got the UF. I always wanted to be a Gator, but it took me a little longer to get there, kind of like, you know, the other guys. I wasn't like no big five-star recruit or anything. So
what was that experience? Like, go ahead. How about I say, nah, you can go down. I was just saying, my boy was playing like one. I remember when I watched the film, when I first heard he was getting a transfer, I'm like, this dude is out here mauling dudes out there. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, man, just I was undersized and I didn't play big. Well, we played, you know, competitive teams, even though, you know, I was in a small town in Groveland. So if everybody knows who Jeff Demps is or Jonathan Harrison, that's the high school I went to, South Lake, in Lake County, Florida, in Groveland. So that's the high school I came from. So I always grew up idolizing those guys and wanting to play at Florida. And obviously my dad played at Florida too. So those are other individuals that made it feel like it was, made me feel like it was possible to play at the University of Florida, because, you know, we were in such a small town. So
what was your introduction to football like in your development, having like a dad that played at a high level? Like, what was that whole mentorship development process like for you as a kid?
Man, as a kid, I always wanted to play football. My mom didn't want us to play. So like, I didn't play football until I was in eighth grade. But my dad, like growing up, my dad would make us like do bag drills and all that stuff. But when I finally started playing in eighth grade, like he really, you know, trained me, gave me advice, made sure I would work out every morning, things of that nature. You know, I really feel for a lot of kids, especially in the town I grew up in. It was such a small town. There's a lot of kids that had a lot of talent, but I feel like, you know, they weren't able to go because they just didn't have somebody to like help mold them and train them. So that was I contribute, you know, 100% of my success having, you know, a former pro as a dad. You know, the biggest thing that he taught me was play with the old school mentality. And, you know, he was undersized as well. So he's like, look, man, you're going to be undersized. He said, you big enough. And that's all that matters. So if you're big enough, he said, you're going to have to play more physical than other people. So, you know, that was a big reason why, you know, I got scholarship offers. And, you know, that was a big reason why I was able to start at the University of Florida, just because of how physical I played, because I couldn't, you know, maybe technically or, you know, size wise match up with some guys. But, you know, where I could, you know, be good at is by being able to come off the ball, play with great effort, and finishing blocks.
Yes, indeed. He was murdering those dudes. Lowest man always wins in football too. Don't let the hype fool you now.
Yeah. when you had center, Jordan, you just in front of some just the biggest monsters in the SEC, D tackle in front of some guys, man. So being at a smaller stature, like you may have leverage, but if you're 6'8", 340, my boy, I don't even think leverage matter, man.
Yeah.
What is like, is center? No, we speak a lot about one of the toughest positions to play in football. Like, what are those positions? Having to snap the ball, get your head up, and being responsible for line, getting the rest of the line lined up, calls. How tough is the center job? How would you compare it to other positions around the team?
Well, I mean, it's not just snapping the ball and like calling plays. Like, I definitely feel like your center is the heart and soul of the offensive line. You know, the University of Florida just had a great center. You know, I believe he's probably one of the best centers that we've probably had since, you know, Marquise Pouncey and Mike Pouncey. He just got drafted. Jake Slaughter, you know, you're the heart and soul of the offensive line. So, yeah, you got to learn. You got to know the mic calls. You got to, you know, be able to communicate with the quarterback and the other old linemen. But if you have a center that's tired, that's not communicating, but that's not, you know, bumping the guys next to him, getting them ready to go, you know, the line goes as a center goes. So really just having good leadership qualities as well. That's a big piece of being a center, because you can't just be a center and just say, okay, I'm going to just do my job and do my thing. No, you got to make sure that both your guards know what's going on, your tackles, being able to communicate with everybody, but also being able to be a good teammate and say, like, hey, it's okay that we didn't score on that drive, but let's go back and get it. Because if you're the main one and you have the ball in your hand every single play and you're not bringing high energy or being intense about what you're doing, then the rest of the guys that are playing to the right or to the left of you, they're not gonna bring it. So I think that you know, having obviously a good quarterback and also a good center really helps the offense go well. So
TJ, you started as a what, redshirt freshman, right, towards the end of the year?
Yes, sir.
And that was due to injury, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah. Cam Dillard got hurt.
That's right.
And then Tyler Jordan, they moved Tyler Jordan to center. Then he got hurt. And then I got thrusted in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you go from a small town, Groveland. You go to NC State. You're like, all right, I'm going to Florida now. You redshirt your freshman year. And then you're like, man, I didn't even think that I would be here, let alone I'm a redshirt freshman, and now I'm starting at the University of Florida. Talk to us about like that first snap for you and like what that experience and what that moment was like for you.
Well, you know, I'm very blessed to have my family. So going into, you know, to University of Florida, you know, and I feel like, and Jordan knows about this too, I don't feel like as athletes, you ever feel like you're not good or you can't play. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like nobody feels that way. Even though I was sitting behind other people, I always felt like I was good enough to start or play. You know, my dad had a conversation with me coming out my redshirt freshman year. And he was like, hey, these are some things that you need to work on and get better at. And something that me and him always talked about was like, hey, you need to grade your film. So ask your coaches how they grade you. And, you know, every coach said, look, we grade you on knowing your assignment, having good technique, and having good effort. And my dad's like, grade yourself every day in fall camp, and also each practice that you have. He said, because you're a backup, so you're not going to have as many reps as the starters have, so you got to have really good reps. And, you know, I would get down. I was like, man, what am I doing all this stuff for? He's like, no. He's like, your time gonna come. He said you gotta be ready so you don't gotta get ready. And then, you know, Cam went down. I was like, man, it's gonna be my time. But then they put Tyler in because Tyler played guard. I was like, man, like I can't catch a break. And then he got hurt. And then I was like, okay. And then like my dad was like, look, you know, this is kind of like the moment you've been waiting for. I can honestly say that my first start in the Swamp was great, because that was the day that they were honoring the first SEC championship team that my dad was a part of. So he was able to get honored with all his peers. He was also able to watch me take my first start. But, you know, it was an amazing time. But it's a lot of hard work and preparation that people don't see that goes into that, because if I didn't work hard, or I was just like, oh, I'm just happy to be here, and I get thrust in, that I'm messing up the game. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think that season could have went one or two ways. We were like, we were a good team, and then we were kind of like, we lost some games. So if I came up and messed and stunk it up, then we would have went back to the SEC championship. If we would have lost that game against South Carolina because of if I played terribly, or we'd have lost against LSU and I played terribly, then we're not going back to back to SEC championships.
Mm-hmm. Man, Hollywood could have wrote that script of you playing your first start, your dad getting honored. Like, that's just an incredible,
incredible
situation, man. Stuff that's they put in movies.
Yeah. So, what was your favorite game as a Gator, UNC?
Woo! My favorite game. These are my two favorite games. I'm gonna say two. I would say the LSU, you know, because nobody expected us to win that game. Right. I think everybody was like, yeah, they catching the L. And we played against Leonard Fournette, Jamal Adams. I think that whole defense, they like, it was a couple first rounds. That whole defense went to the lead. Riley, all linebacker.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, they was like, man, they're not winning. And then it was the fight before the game. And they're like, man, Florida finna get whooped. We in LSU. That's the most people I've ever seen to this day in my life. I've never seen that much people in my life playing at LSU. And like the environment was crazy, but the thing I loved about that game is that we ran the ball. Nobody could run on LSU's defense. Nobody could run on them. And they pride themselves on that. And we rushed for over 100 yards on them.
Mm-hmm.
You had a day, Jordan. P. Ron had a day. And we was just we weren't even doing nothing special. We just running inside zone, outside zone.
I was about
zone.
To say we was running two of the same plays, a power play and a zone play, left and right.
That was it, bro. We just going straight. We was just we just coming straight at you. And then my second favorite game would have to be when we beat Tennessee with the last second Hail Mary. That was crazy. So that was those would be my two favorite as a Gator.
Yeah, you wasn't
what
there
was it like playing with both Franks and Trask? Like, what was your experience with both those guys?
It was a great experience playing with both of them, man. Both were highly competitive. You know, Felipe brought the athletic aspect to the game. You know, he was an athlete. I think it was one game we were playing. We played against Texas A&M, and we were like back on our own goal line. And he busted like out like an 80, 90 yard run.
Yeah, it looked like a giraffe running.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Maybe giraffe. Yeah. It was crazy. But Kyle was more of like a thinker. He would make the right plays, you know, throw the ball. So those are two great quarterbacks that you know, I was able to play with. I know Felipe changed the position because he's such a phenomenal athlete. Mm-hmm. So but yeah.
So talk to us a little. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if there any Way Stadium that you would say that had the best atmosphere, obviously the Swamp is number one. But if you was to pick another one, any Way Stadiums that you would like,
you thinking? Man, I'll have to say LSU, and then people don't think about it, it's Kentucky too, man. Kentucky loud,
like yeah, Kentucky get a look crazy. Good,
they get loud, man, and like yeah, their stadium isn't that big.
Like right, LSU. A rowdy. You got to respect. Yeah, it. Way better than Missouri. Missouri was.
Yeah, man. Missouri is. I felt like playing in Missouri is just dead. Like,
yeah, dude. It just,
it's not
you're
like
a hole in the ground. Stadium's out because Kentucky. It's built like right on you, kind of like the way Swamp is, right? Like, even though it's small, it's right there.
Yeah. They get a lot over there too, man. I'm like, but LSU and Kentucky are probably the two. Like the best environment to play in, and I would add third South Carolina. They're pretty loud too.
Yeah, I like the towels. The towels get the swinging. They get going crazy.
Yeah,
they got that rooster sound. They got jump around. They got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Which defensive tackle in practice gave you the toughest time?
Man, we had a great defense. my freshman. Listen, and I honestly say this. I don't think I would be the player I was if I didn't go against Joey Ivey and Caleb Brantley every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. And when I say, like, you come out of high school thinking, like, oh, I'm finna do this, man, Caleb Brantley and Joey Ivey used to whoop my ass as a freshman. Like, kill me. But the one thing about them is, even like guys like Antonio Morris and Jared Davis, like just physical, man. But like the one thing that I really loved about playing against them is that, like, because when you redshirt, you're doing scout team all year. Like at the end of the year, like Antonio Morrison came up to me and all them came up to me. They said, "Hey, man, you ready?" They say you ready to play now. Like they really help prepare you to play because they're the best. Playing against them in practice, like, the games was real low-key easy. Like, the only thing I could compare them to was Alabama. That's it. But everybody else, you know, like, everybody else you played in the SEC at that time, yeah, they're big. But, like, Caleb's an athlete. Joey's a freak of nature. Taven Bryan, like, yeah, some freaks, man. That, like, and if you could block them or compete with them, you could compete with anybody.
Like, Taven Bryan is still in the NFL, man.
Yeah.
What was it like transition? I mean, we've heard it from Jordan a lot, you know, under, you know, about McElwain and what he was like, but you were there for Mullen's first year, right?
Yeah.
And then I know you transferred to Louisville. What was the difference of like McElwain and Mullen's attitude and tenor? And then like from Coach Summers to Coach Hevesy, like what was that transition like for you as a player?
Well, before Coach Hevesy, we had Coach Summers was there for two years, and then I had Brad Davis.
Oh, that's
phenomenal!
Right.
Phenomenal offensive line coach. He actually coached LSU over the last couple of years and had a couple guys get drafted. So, you know, I played for some great coaches. Going from McElwain to Coach Mullen, it was like with Coach Mullen, I learned so much offensively. Like we did a lot of stuff, you know, offensively very well that I respected. And I still carry that on to this day. Like I helped volunteer coach at my local high school, South Lake. Nice. So I take all the knowledge that I've gained over the years playing college football, you know, and I try to give it back to the kids. Going from, you know, Brad Davis and Coach Summers to Coach Hevesy, it was a tough, you know, transition. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was very hard on me, but it was never like a personal thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm never mad at a coach cursing at you, or getting on your ass or whatever. Like just like saying like, hey man, do better, man. You playing like some trash. Like just keep it 100 with you. But with Hevesy, it was just kind of like small stuff. Like, bro, you don't even gotta say that. Like, you can just coach me. You can still curse and all that stuff. But like, you make it stuff personal. Like, and at that point, I'm just like, okay, bro. Like, I can't be in this environment. Like, you make it stuff personal. And that was a big reason why I left the University of Florida. Mm. Just with that relationship. So
yeah, he was an A-hole. I heard he worked at Lowe's.
I think somebody asked
customer service is not his job.
Yeah, man. I think somebody asked me a couple years back about him and I talked about it, but you know, my biggest thing is that year was a very tough year for me personally. That 2018 season, we had a phenomenal year as a team, but in my personal life, it was a tough year because I had meniscus surgery on my knee. And then my dad had got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm. So that was a tough year for me personally. But even going through all the stuff with him and all that stuff, just like, I think that really prepared me for where I'm at in life now. Because you gotta deal with people that you don't like. You gotta deal with people that are difficult. And you know, I even said in the thing, I was like, hey man, I gotta give hats off to him because, you know, dealing with him for that year kind of prepared me just for life, you know, dealing with certain people. And you know, I don't think if I didn't go through that tough situation, you know, I wouldn't be successful, you know, doing the stuff that I am today, like being a business owner, doing stuff with my nonprofit. So, you know, God gives you tough times like that. Just to see how you're going to come out, see how you're going to come, you know, out of it. So
that's awesome. That's a great perspective, man.
Sure.
For sure.
What are you doing now?
So I do a whole bunch of stuff now. So I own a healthcare agency. We do caregiving from Jacksonville all the way down to Tampa. My agency is called Master Caregivers. And then we're also, we recently are opening up a clinic. I'm to do ABA therapy for children with autism. And then through my nonprofit, you know, we have a contract with Kids Central Incorporated and DCF. We do a fatherhood initiative program. And then we do a summer program for kids in our local community. We do academic tutoring. We teach them Spanish over the summer. We do fitness activities with them. So we're contracted with our local city government to do those programs. And then most recently, we did our first ever exposure camp. It's called the Real McCoy Exposure Camp. This past year, I partnered with Adam Schuler to put on the camp in Orlando. But we had over 200 athletes out there. And I think it's the only camp, you know, in America that does shell. So we did a shells camp. We did half line run. We did a full inside run drill with the top five O-line, D-line. We did 7-on-7. It was all shells. We recorded it. And we also were able to send it out to different colleges. We had a kid get offered to Georgia Tech. So we've been sending out the film to everywhere. So, I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. I'm staying busy. But that's just kind of like what I'm up to right now.
Damn, that's incredible, dude. Great work.
Yes, sir.
Stay active, man. Yeah, I seen your camp collab last offseason. I think last year, I think you had Jordan there for something, right? As well.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there, but I ended up missing.
Yeah, he's
playing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had seen. I think when Jordan shared is when I saw it, man. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Like from a camp perspective, it's hard. You see so many of these clips where offensive linemen, defensive linemen going at it with no pass on.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm just like, it's like realistically, it's just not real, man. Like, and then even I think it's important for the skilled dudes to do it too, because
right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not catching, like, whenever you go to college, you ain't gonna be catching in no headgear or whatever. Like, right. That's the big reason why we did it. And I really think our camp, you know, I'm hoping that somebody sees and they want to, you know, really make this a big thing, because I think our camp is probably the best camp for running backs, because they were actually able to do half line run, and we just kept it very vanilla. We just say, hey, we doing inside zone, outside zone. That's all we doing. So we kept it very vanilla for them. So like, even, you know, colleges, they're able to see like, hey, you know, he went to this camp, you know, they're able to see the running backs do one-on-one pass pro. They're able to see the running backs do half line run, inside run, you know, do one-on-ones on one-on-ones versus the linebackers. So I think our camp is probably the best camp for O-line, D-linemen, and running backs, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I think getting that exposure and seeing them to be able to maneuver and pass, like you said, catching out the backfield with pads on is different than having on a helmet versus no helmet and shoulder pads. If you're stiff, you probably ain't going to be able to turn that body, that neck around.
I'm telling you.
It definitely plays a huge part in it, man. I think that's definitely the future, boy. You might be on to something.
Yeah, man. That's really the biggest thing. And we just really want everything. Like, we want everything to be realistic. So when kids come to my camp, if you win MVP at this camp, that means you know you're the real deal. You did it in helmets and shoulder pads versus, you know, top dudes. Like, we had a couple kids that were 3-star, 4-star kids that were out there. So, like, if you came there, if you that guy, you know what I'm saying, come out there and perform. Like, that's the biggest thing that we really wanted to push. And we give, you know, we gave scholarships out. So the MVP was able to walk away with $750 for winning MVP. So each wow. kid that participated, they won MVP, they were able to get some scholarship money. And then obviously we partnered with D1 Training as well. They were able to give stuff out as well. So we partnered with a lot of great people like D1 Training, Morgan and Morgan, really just to help put the camp on, and some other local vendors as well. But really the whole purpose of the camp is to help the kids get exposure. I just got to figure out these rules with the NCAA, because I would love to have colleges come out there and just look at kids. And that's my whole thing. I'm not in the whole NIL stuff. So my whole thing is I'm just trying to create an environment where kids have the opportunity to play college football and live out their, you know, their long childhood dream. So.
That's big time.
Okay. That's dope, awesome, man.
All right, TJ. Well, we appreciate you for joining the show today. If there's anything that you can advertise or tell people where they can follow you on social media or where they can learn more about your camp, I'll go ahead and plug away.
Yeah, man. So our camp page is EYP Player Factory on Instagram, and then also on Twitter, but we're more heavy on Instagram. We recently just created Twitter. Also, my nonprofit is Empowering Young People as well. If anybody wants to help support the nonprofit and the things that we do. But those are like my two Instagram handles for the stuff that I do. And then if anybody just want to follow me, it's just TJ McCoy _ on Instagram. So, but I appreciate your time. I appreciate seeing my boy. I ain't seen him in a minute. So thank you for having me, brother. I hope everything's good with your family, your wife, your kids. I love everything that you're doing. And thank you guys so much for having me, Dan and Corey. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. And I know Nick Delacorte would want us to wish you a hello as well. He's normally on the show as well. So, TJ, we appreciate you for all your contributions, not only to the University of Florida, but what you're doing for the greater good right now. Man, you're doing a great job. So keep up the good work, and we look forward to having you on soon. And, hey, congratulations on becoming a girl dad here soon, man.
Yeah, that's, man, that's she'll awesome do next month. She's almost here.
Pump for you, dude. Pump for you, man.
Get as much sleep as you can now.
I'm about to say, you better sleep in, boy, because it's about to go down.
Yeah, man. How you doing, man?
Awesome. Well, TJ, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir. God bless you guys.
You too, brother.
Take care, man.
TJ McCoy.
McCoy.
I wish I would have remembered. We had somebody on a couple months ago that talked about him being the real McCoy.
just trying to remember who it was about how he was a beast to go up against in practice.
No, TJ was – y'all should have asked him the hands question. I thought you was going to hit it, Corey.
Oh, I forgot.
Few of his time. I thought you was going to ask. I didn't want to ask.
Somebody him, said he was one of the ones with hands, too, man. I just remember that. Bring him back real quick. Try to hit the link again, man.
We got one more question for you.
I let the crew down, man. I'm sorry. I forgot to ask that question, man.
Yeah, that's usually your question. That's all. I ain't going to ask it. Let me see if you going to do it.
Yeah, somebody, one of the players said he named TJ McCoy as one of them thumpers, yeah, man.
You were, who he was? He was.
He's like a nice guy.
He was Luke. He was Chauncey for sure. Who else did he fight? He used to fight a lot of D linemen, obviously, because, you know, O line, D line just fight, get scrappy, especially during the spring.
Yeah.
Similar situation, no pads, but we having a 2-minute drill.
I think it was Fred Johnson that said it.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Yeah.
DJ was always a bumper. I always can rely on him. If he's getting a little scruffy in team run, I know my dog got my back. It's going down. Yeah. He's coming through.
Well, we appreciate TJ McCoy. Boys, I think that wraps up the show today. We'll get Nick back next week, I believe. And then we got a whole host of special guests coming up soon over the next couple of weeks and couple of months to take us into summer practice. But before we leave, one time for our friends over at Alumni Hall, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road right by Chick-fil-A. Largest selection of Florida Gator wear in all of Gainesville. Again, that's alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road the next time you are in Gainesville. With that, boys, same corner, same time next week.
Yes, sir. Same hopefully we got my boy Nick. Boy. Deuces, yeah, boys.
We'll see you guys. Have a good one. Thanks, everybody, for watching.